From the shores of Puget Sound, this is Healthy Homecast. Healthy Homecast is created and operated by Healthy Painting and HealthyPainting.com. Healthy Homecast is your source for information, news, and events that focus on environmental responsibility, environmental consciousness, and eco-related products and practices. Find us on the web at www.healthyhomecast.com. And now your host, Daryl Whalen.
Okay, good evening, and welcome to Healthy Homecast. We're not exactly sure which episode this is going to be. This is kind of our guest, Doug Kennedy, from Pathway Design and Construction, has agreed to come down. Doug is probably been one of my biggest supporters personally, and a supporter of the podcast and our painting company. And he's directly or indirectly responsible for probably at least 50% of the guests that are lined up for the show right now. So he called up and said he wanted to be on the show. And since he called, I said, of course. And it's a real pleasure and an honor to have Doug Kennedy here. So we'll get into that right after Tony with the news. Take it away, Tony. It's time for some healthy news, information, and events that are happening throughout the Puget Sound area. Sponsored by PigeonPointPC.com.
Alrighty, and welcome to the news. First up is Cascade Bicycle Club presents An Evening with Phil Leggett. This is taking place May 23rd, 2011 at 7 p.m. at the Intamin Theater located at 201 Mercer Street in Seattle. Get your tickets now as this show will sell out. Cascade Bicycle Club is very proud to present an evening with one of the true legends in the history of cycling, Phil Leggett. Phil is universally referred to simply as the voice of cycling. For those who watch cycling regularly, he is indeed considered royalty, someone who is revered and whose voice transcends the sport itself. For more information, please go to www.cascade.org. And for tickets, visit www.brownpapertickets.com. Next up, the Oregon Lung Association presents Reach the Beach. This is taking place May 21st, 2011. Reach the Beach is close to selling out. Register now to ensure your spot. In 2010, Reach the Beach riders raised $550,000 for the American Lung Association in Oregon. And the ride sold out. Be sure to register early to ensure your slot on this spectacular ride. Volunteers are also needed. Sign up today and become part of the fun. Volunteers get a free pass to the finish line beach party. We provide superb organization, beautiful routes, medical and mechanical support on course, 8 lunch and snack stops, and a magnificent beach party with delicious hearty feast. Reach the Beach is one of Oregon's premier cycling events. Spend the day exploring Oregon by bike. For more information, check out www.lungoregon.org. Excuse me. And last but not least, Food Lust. Food Lust is Cascade Harvest Coalition's 6th annual gala, Down on the Farm Benefit Returns, on Saturday, June 4th. What's on tap? Cocktails and appetizers, an amazing multi-course sit-down dinner, silent and live auction, live music, and dessert dash. Zoll takes place June 4th, 2011, 5 p.m. till 9:30 p.m. at Willie Green's Organic Farm, located at 19501 Tualco Road in Monroe. For more information, visit www.cascadeharvest.org or call 206-632-0606. That is the news, and now back to the podcast.
Please feel free to send any news, information, and events that focus on environmental consciousness and responsibility, as well as health, happiness, safety, and well-being, to info@healthyhomecast.com. And now, back to Healthy Homecast. Voila. Okay. Thanks a lot, Tony. And we'll have that information posted on our site, along with all the other great stuff going on. And once again, we have Doug Kennedy here. Doug is the Director of Operations for Pathway Design and Construction. I originally met Doug at the National Healthy Homes Training over at the University of Washington, and along with John Alexander, and they were just really open and friendly. And we then met again at Master Home Environmentalist Training at the American Lung Association, with which Doug kind of helps facilitate to some degree, and I think he spoke a little bit one night. Our company then did some painting for Pathway Construction, and since December we've been volunteering on a project that Doug has taken charge of, the Green Gone Brown project, which I was happy to find out tonight that it's actually online. And then most recently, Doug has been on the facilitating team with the Healthy Homes for Building Professionals training that Tom and I recently completed. Doug's been involved in the building and real estate field for over 35 years, doing things such as residential construction and real estate appraisal. He serves on the American Lung Association Master Home Environmentalist Steering Committee, and we had Casey here recently talking about that program, and I happen to have been a proud graduate of one of those classes. He dedicates himself to hundreds of hours of educating clients and employees and the community to make informed choices regarding health and environmental responsibility and consciousness. And he's a man after my own heart, because that's really a big commitment that I've taken on in my life, and that our business has really been, grateful to be able to participate in. And the humble guy that I know he is, he may not want to tell you about the 2008 Governor's Award of Excellence for Outstanding Volunteer Service for working with the American Lung Association and the Master Home Environmentalist Program. And very recently, he was the recipient of the 2010 Pioneer Award given by the Built Green Program, the Built Green Program. And we will talk about that a little bit towards the end of the show. So thanks a lot, Doug, for coming by. And why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your company, Pathway Design and Construction, and tell us what a director of operations is and what a director of operations does.
Thanks, Daryl. I wish I knew that myself. Hard to even know really where to start. I think being able to work with and for Pathway over the past number of years has just been really enjoyable. It's actually more or less coming full circle with where and what I started and got involved with back in the, I hate to say, late 60s through late 70s. And so watching much of what we were involved with back then now being picked up and gaining new life and momentum and looking like this time it's going to really make it has been really enjoyable. Pathway, the principal and the owner, Paul Kokerhoek, I've known since he's been about 6 years old. And so over the last 30 years, he kind of was stuck with me as his grandfather asked as they got older. They went to work for some of the properties and that I used to handle for John. And he asked that perhaps I could just encourage the guys, give them some direction and understanding about building. And since most of my philosophy was built around environmental and sustainable building, they kind of just kept getting all these little pieces and that. And then as they grew and got older and went off to college, they all had, when I say all, Paul and his cousins had made a decision that when they got out of college, they wanted to get into building and that in some way. And since we had planted the thoughts in the areas of sustainability and health, it was a natural outgrowth for when they built the companies that they just grew in the direction of healthy home sustainability. And I think they felt sorry for me because we sold all the properties and that, and they felt I needed something to do, so they offered me a job. And I thought it was great because I got to help build a company.
So why don't you, I know you can tell us a little bit about the, what the director of operations does. What exactly is that?
Well, primarily I think my responsibility is to take a look at, one, the business of business for the company, and then help position and marriage the company to the areas that, one, are our primary focus, i.e. the building, and also how we can do the most good for the community, how we can take what we know, help do community outreach, and keep growing knowledge about sustainability and healthy home.
Yeah, great. One of the philosophies that our business has is that you can be successful and profitable and still be a contributor and a participator and in a positive and productive way. And I know that's certainly where you're at with all that. So how long have you been, how long has Pathway Construction been in existence, and how long have you been involved with that company?
Well, Pathway by name has been in existence for almost 4 years. Its sister company was probably about 5 years before that. So overall, it's really been in existence for about 7 to 9 years.
And so what about prior to that? What was your journey towards this? Like, I know you say you've been involved with the real estate and construction in some form or another for at least 35 years. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Boy, where to start? I think maybe the best way to start, Daryl, is to quote somebody, and that's Dr. Randy Pausch. And I don't know if any of your listeners have ever watched the last lecture, but he made a great comment. And I think it's really reflective of where I got started and what really led me along this path. He made a comment, and that comment was, it's enjoyable to live your dreams. It's even more rewarding to help others live theirs. Mm. And with that, I've been really fortunate from the time I've been young that I've had the opportunity to live my dreams. And one of the things and where I got started was I grew up out of Boise, Idaho, and I could go 30 miles one direction, I'd be in the mountains, 30 miles another direction, I'd be in the desert, and or a combination of both. And as I was growing up and spending a lot of time there, I started realizing the relationship between mankind and nature, and how nature had a tremendous impact on us and how we had a tremendous impact on it. When I was in college, part of the way I put myself through college was in the construction building trade, and I started seeing a relationship of what we were doing construction-wise at that time, the waste and the impact we were having on the surrounding environment. And with that, I started doing a lot of research and study and hit on, at that time, passive and active solar construction, and got involved in site design, et cetera, et cetera. And as my interest in that grew, I was actually approached by one of the larger builders in Idaho to help grow the areas that they were involved in, both construction-wise but also market-wise. And so they gave me a free license to experiment. And with that license, I got to really take a look at what we could do with site design, what we could do with construction techniques, what we could do with passive solar, how we could start implementing active solar. And by active solar at that time, I mean the old flat plate collectors, and if any of you go back that far, you'll understand what those were and the challenges of working with them. And I also had a tremendous family influence. Part of my family that's up here actually built one of the first passive solar homes in the Seattle region. That was built in the early 70s, and still operational today and very functional. And once they got past everybody laughing at them and telling them that it wouldn't work in this area, many of the things that they build in have started catching on. So with that influence and being a bit of a troublemaker, was able to take that and start growing it and just slowly but surely getting involved and maybe getting the word out, getting a chance to experiment, finding out what directions we could take things. And it meant a lot to my life and really, you know, gave me a chance to fulfill my dreams. And from that, I made the decision that maybe if I was that fortunate, I had time and energy, maybe I could help others just by, you know, tweaking a little of this or throwing out an idea, and if it made a difference, then that was great.
Yeah. Yeah, you said, you know, you hate to say that you've been involved with this stuff since the 60s and 70s. You know, it's, I don't know, I think there's a certain amount of, like, really powerfulness to that, because the transition and the, you know, the escalation of it and all the trending of it and all the things that have changed and stuff over the years, a lot of people that are just seeing this stuff now really don't understand, like, what the journey is like. It's just been, like, incredible. I remember, you know, we're relatively close to the same age, and when I was a kid and hearing about all this environmental stuff and everything, it was considered some kind of hippy-dippy voodoo, you know? And now it's something that we're really, more and more people are understanding how important and how necessary it is, and seeing and understanding that it's something that we don't have any choice to have as part of our life.
Yeah, and, you know, that's a good point, Daryl. And I don't think very often we have the opportunity, when you see pieces coming together, realizing that simply by maybe speaking to the right people, encouraging the right people, we're setting the stage for the future generations and perhaps reducing the impact that they're going to have on the environment and the environment's going to have on them. If we look back, say, 150 years, David Henry Thoreau actually wrote a great book, and that was Walden's Pond. He also wrote another piece, and that was Civil Disobedience. And ironically, the two of those pieces, it may have taken 150 years, but have impacted a great number of people, and they've come back together. So when we think about maybe 10 years ago what happened here in Seattle with the Battle of Seattle, where the environmental groups all came together and through the use of civil disobedience really raised awareness as to what many of the environmental movements were about. And those same environmental movements actually springboarded off of Walden's Pond. He had a great influence on the Sierra Club, Greenpeace, and that. And so you see all these different pieces coming together. It may have taken 150 years, but now we're having a tremendous impact on changing the direction of what's going on in society today.
Yeah, yeah. We've got a guy coming up on an episode that wrote some type of a biography or something on Buckminster Fuller. And apparently, I don't really know that much about the guy, but apparently he was probably inspired by somebody like Thoreau and stuff. And and there's more and more of it going on all the time now.
There's a couple of great books out there actually written by a local Seattle author, Paul Loeb. And one of them's called Soul of a Citizen.
Sure. Yeah, yes. I've got that.
Yeah. And the second one, and it's a newer edition, is called The Impossible Sometimes Takes a While.
Yeah, yeah.
Great books. And it talks about making change.
Yeah.
And each one of us has the opportunity and the ability. And an interesting article in recent Psychology Today, it was talking about what's going on in the world and the impact it's having on people and how people are feeling more and more helpless, and yet they're looking for one little thing that they can do and pull together to maybe make a little change and say, well, things are still okay. And as we look at sustainability and what's going on in the green community and the healthy home community, we've got a tremendous number of people that are going, wow, I can make one little difference and I can make a change and it's going to have a big impact. And so it's kind of a healing thing for society.
Yeah, no, I see it and I believe it. You know, I have a niece, you know, I come from Ohio and we never, you know, at least the world that we grew up around wasn't a lot of talk about environmental type stuff or anything. And now I have a niece who's a senior in college and she's the president of the Sierra Club at her college and everything. And that's just really, really exciting.
And so what somebody did 150 years ago, the group that Thoreau was involved with, has touched.
They started that club, the Sierra Club, right?
Well, it wasn't necessarily starting it, but they had a great influence. Yes.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And then, you know, the people like yourself and the things that now I'm able to be a part of and stuff. And this is all something that's been in my heart for a long time, but it's just been the last few years that I've really, really committed myself to it. And, you know, it's because of all this stuff that you're talking about. I read the Thoreau book, you know, probably like 15 years ago for the first time. It's you know, there was a time in my life where I didn't really think that there was a whole lot of positive stuff going on in the world. And then, you know, I met the people that really are inspiring and positive and stuff. And it's hard not to believe that that's the case anymore.
Well, a book, I don't know if anybody can still find it, Daryl. It's one I read when I was in college. And Vance Packard wrote it, I think, about 1960. And it's called The Wastemakers. Mm. And he really predicted and set the stage for much of what we're seeing today as far as consumerism and waste. And he nailed it right on the nose. And our generation is paying the price for decisions that were made over the last 50, 60 years.
Mm. Yeah, they say that there's been more advancement in, like, society in, like, the last, like, 70 or 80 years than there has been in, like, the last, like, 500 years.
Yeah, actually, and it's kind of interesting because, and Dan Morris makes a great comment, and he says, before 1900, homes were built to last over 500 years. 1900 to 1950, homes were built to last approximately 100 years. 1950 to 1980, approximately 50 years, 1982 today, built to last approximately 20 years, and many of them fail before we ever move into them.
Yeah, and yeah. I think heartbreaking.
Well, it is, and it's very reflective, I think, of an attitude change that took place over the past several generations, which now is hopefully changing in the opposite direction again.
Yeah, well, if we have anything to do with it, it will, right? So it's probably not too tough of a – I know I see you as being a pretty humble person, and you might be have a difficult time answering some of these questions, so I appreciate you doing the best you can.
Okay.
I know that there's a lot of people that do construction work, and there's a lot of construction companies out there, and there's certainly a lot of them that tout themselves as being environmentally and all that health conscious and everything – But how does, you know, how does what you do and your company, how do they differ from all the others out there in the field?
I'm not sure we do differ, Daryl. We all want to build the best product that we can deliver. We want to hopefully make a profit so we can stay in business. We want to build something that when others look at it, they go, well, that's a nicely built profit or project. On the surface, a nicely built profit. Yeah, hopefully, and it's harder and harder to make a profit on projects now. So in those respects, we're probably like everybody else. I think Pathway may be slightly different in that it's a mission-driven company. And they sat down before they ever built their first project and decided what it was that was exceptionally valuable to them and how in building the company they could stay true to that mission. And that was, what can we give back to the community and environment in addition to what we realize from it? So I don't know if that answers your question, but perhaps we differ simply in trying to stick to the values that were set in building the company.
Yeah, well, in my mind, it's tremendously different. I mean, one of the things that we, you know, that we strive to, like, make sure that we do is to not try to get too negative and make others wrong or bad or whatever, but being somebody that's been in, to some degree, in the construction field, I've been a painting contractor for quite a long time, and, you know, I see with the majority of the companies, it's just about the bottom line and getting it done, and you know, it's so I really do see that their business is a lot different, and I see our businesses being like that as well, and I think that's why people like us meet and do the stuff that we do and go out there and try to inspire others.
I think possibly with that, one of the things that may set us apart, we're really concerned with the product that we create and the impact it's going to have on the occupants and children that live in those homes. Because ultimately, we're responsible for the health of those individuals, and what we put out there can make a lot of people sick, and we really don't care to be part of that.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. So is there anything that you would like your clients to know or to understand about what you do or the line of work that you're in that they may not really be aware of or clear about already?
Sustainability, green, healthy home, whatever you want to term it, doesn't have to cost more than conventional construction.
I totally agree. There's plenty of non-green companies out there that charge a lot of money for their services.
Well, once again, and when we think a company charges a lot for their services, it still sounds as though if we build sustainably and healthy, it's going to cost more. And it's not a matter of costing more. It's a matter of prioritizing and really thinking, ultimately, what do we really get as far as enjoyment and comfort out of our homes, and maybe reallocating a little of the money that we might have put into a hot tub or something like that into a ventilation system that's going to work with what we did to the envelope and create a healthy environment, and just shifting a little of that money. And you can do it for pretty much the same price. It's just, where do you allocate the monies?
Being responsible with your decisions, yeah. Financially and health-oriented.
Yeah.
So what methods do you use to communicate these things to your clients and your potential clients?
That building is actually about healing. A healthy home is really the construction equivalent of preventive health care. Mm. We can actually go in now and measure in dollar amounts the impact that a healthy home has, simply because of the cost in treating things like asthma, bronchial, MCS, and those types of issues. And we actually have studies out there now that show those long-term costs.
Yeah, I got to see some of those in those recent classes that I took. It was amazing. So please tell us what the mission statement of your company is and what that means to the client and what that means to you personally.
It's basically built around merging human design with nature's elements and the responsibility that we believe we have on minimizing one footprint, maximizing the comfort and the health of the individuals that would choose to have us do a remodel or to build a place for them. And our ultimate responsibility, both as a company and as individuals, to care for the environment.
Hmm. So one of the things that we talked about earlier was on the phone before you were coming down here today was the concept of the house as a whole system as opposed to being individual pieces. Can you tell us what that means?
And this is part of what Nicole Starnes Taylor was discussing when it comes to design. We oftentimes, a company will either specialize in one thing such as envelope, one thing such as ventilation. They may specialize in materials. And in reality, it's each of the various systems operating together, and that interrelationship, if we don't understand how each of those pieces work, we'll end up building a fair system, but one piece won't work, and it'll end up compromising what was done in all the other areas. Site water is a good example. We can build a great house, but if we're not careful with the site water design, we can inadvertently ruin whatever we did as far as building a great envelope and ultimately impact the indoor air quality on individuals. So they're all interrelated, and you really have to understand the whole process.
It's that symbiotic relationship between all things. That's part of the living building challenge.
Yes, it is.
Correct?
It is.
So please tell us about your educational focus on health that you have within your company and the mission of your company and the relationship that you have not only with your clients and your potential clients, but from how I know you, with the community as a whole.
I think part of the influence on me was, it's gone back a number of years, and I actually took a course through the American Lung Association called the Master Home Environmentalist Course. And how I got involved with it was we were taking a project through the Master Builders Built Green program, and part of their certification program indicates there's a certain point total if you take a special type of course on healthy building. And I had checked into taking that course and found out the only place it was offered was through the American Lung Association's training. And so I went back, got involved in it, 7-week training, and really started being able to speak to what I already knew as far as the value of doing this piece right, that piece right, but it really put it into words. And so we sent all of our employees in our company through that course, and each one of them not only came away with a clearer understanding, but a conviction to go back to their own homes and make a few changes so that their grandkids maybe would have a better chance of not having to face certain types of illnesses.
Yeah, it's an amazing course. Of course, I took that, and we had Casey on one of the shows. That has a lot to do with that stuff right now. Yeah, I highly recommend anybody get involved with that if they can. So from a perspective of health, what are some of the potential system failures in a home or a building?
Well, I think everybody already knows if you don't pay attention to site design, you inadvertently can have all kinds of moisture problems as water intrudes either into basements, crawl spaces, and that. And much of the makeup air that we find in our homes today either originates or passes through those two areas. And especially in our crawl spaces, if they're not treated correctly, designed correctly, and that, you can get an awful lot of moisture and contaminants that get drawn into the house, ultimately impact IAQ. Same with our ventilation systems. As we're tightening up our older homes and in new construction and newer home remodeled, as we're tightening those up, we need to think about what's happening to the air in those homes. And if we don't marry a good ventilation system with a tight home, we're really asking for some potential long-term problems.
Yeah, that's pretty much the biggest thing that that I learned from the training class that I had just taken was that, having this idea about this green building, you know, a few years back I'd heard about this LEED thing and LEED certification, and I knew that it was really big in California, but Washington hadn't quite embraced it the same way. I mean, they were starting to, but just this idea that all these eco buildings are like, they're basically like so natural and everything, but it turns out that it's, if it's not focused on and tended to properly, they can be extremely energy efficient, but they could be some of the most unhealthiest buildings around. And that was one of the most, I think, eye-opening things that I had gotten from the class.
Interestingly enough, we've introduced 60,000 to 80,000 new chemical and chemical compounds over the past 35 years. Many of them have not been tested. Most of them we've introduced into products that we are living with in our homes now. So if we don't understand the symbiotic relationship between ourselves and the home, we're really asking for continuous trouble.
We've got a couple of questions here, and then we're going to take a break. So can you tell us about your company's operation and maintenance plan, what that is and why that's important?
Well, I think it's an outgrowth from our belief in having the home be a healthy place to live. It's one thing to build a place and have it impact the occupants. It's quite another to build a place and have the occupants impact the home. Mm. And by that, what I mean, as a builder, we can give the occupant one of the best built homes around, designed to meet their comfort needs, their health needs. But if we haven't got them to take ownership of that home very early on in the process, we run the risk that they may not have enough information or have the follow-through to operate and maintain that home over a long period of time the way it needs to be operated and maintained. And if they don't do that, you can build the best home around and it's set up for failure. And a couple of examples, you can build a great ventilation system into a home. If the homeowner doesn't do the regular maintenance on that system, you can actually end up contaminating the indoor air quality or making it worse than if possibly you hadn't done a great ventilation system in the beginning. And we've got a lot of studies that show that this does happen. So Pathway, we took a look at it right from the inception of the company and decided that we need to give the homeowners the tools that if they choose and want to do the follow-through, they have the resources and the knowledge to make their home live and work for a long period of time.
So that sounds like it fits into that net zero thing that we had been talking about, a maintenance plan where you're making sure, are you making sure that certain things are functioning properly and stuff and over a period of time into the future? Is that what you're saying?
Very definitely.
Perfect. So we got one more question. We're going to take a little break here. Can you tell us a little bit about the EPA lead paint certification?
Actually, I think most people would rather we didn't talk about it.
It's a very, very important thing. And myself being a painting contractor, it's something that I can certainly know something about. And I know that you're well versed in it. And I know that you're one of your companies that you're involved in is one of the big trainers and stuff for that stuff. So can you give us a brief rundown about the whole the lead issue and the EPA certification?
Yes. Actually, this generation is paying the price for decisions that were made about three generations ago. The impact that lead can have on humans has been well understood since probably the Roman civilization. In fact, one of the things they believe led to the collapse of Rome was lead.
And that was about three generations ago, right?
That was a bit longer. Yeah, a bit longer than that. No, they used to actually use lead plates, you know, lead goblets and that.
Oh.
And equally important, they used to put lead in the wines to sweeten the wines. And it led to many health problems
that,
where it's kind of documented back then. But more importantly, back in the late 20s, early 30s, many parts of the world were realizing that lead was having an impact on humans.
Mm.
And so they started getting rid of lead in products, i.e. lead in paint. We encourage the use of lead because, one, it does extend the life of paints, enhances color, and there were many other reasons.
Mm.
And so we started adding lead to everything, gasoline, and that was a good one. And so in doing so, we created a situation that once the products started breaking down and lead dust was getting into the air, it started having a huge impact on the people that were living in the places where you found the lead. And so EPA actually started realizing this. They tried to make sure lead was taken out of residential paint clear back in the late 70s. 1978 was when the law actually went into effect. But that doesn't mean that you didn't still find lead making its way into paints that were being used and that type of thing. EPA, as groups like the National Center for Healthy Housing, started raising awareness and actually bringing action, they forced the hand and started getting people to think and getting legislation into place to really perhaps start reducing the overall impact that lead has on the community. As you know, being in the field you're in, one of the things that we're facing now with much of our housing stock being over 50 years old and having lead in the paint, when you go in to do a paint job and that, you create a lot of dust through sanding, scraping, and that type of thing. Residents in the house, especially children under the age of 6, are impacted by that, and we're starting to find possible connections with things like ADD, ADHD, autism. Actually, there's some studies that show maybe adult criminal behavior can be traced to early childhood exposure to lead, and which is quite interesting. So EPA got serious about this 2 years ago and passed some legislation that stipulates anybody working on a home older than 1978 and disturbing X amount of square footage, either interior or exterior, had to be trained in safe lead paint removal. And so they started a series of classes that actually started, I think, late last year, and offers the opportunity for contractors, trades partners, and homeowners, property managers, to get the training they need to remove this safely. And you get a certification, and when you actually are trained, then you understand how to contain the dust in the areas that you're working on in a home, how to do cleanup, and how to test out so that you're assured that the home is going to be healthy when you're done with your renovation, remodel, or painting.
Mm. Great. Well, I know that's in some sense really changed the mindset and the in the contractors and stuff, especially in the painting field and everything. But I've also been somebody that's been pretty mindful of it for almost 30 years. When I was watching people take their paint chips and their like paint thinner and everything and pour it behind the garages and stuff, like other paint contractors were doing that. And when I was back in Ohio and I was looking on the back of the paint cans under the cautions and the materials and everything that were the ingredients, and realizing that this could be some potentially some pretty like dangerous stuff. And it's really, really shifting and stuff. And in a episode or so down the road, we're going to be talking about the paints and stuff like that. We're going to take a quick break here, and then we're going to be back with Doug Kennedy and Pathway Construction. So we'll be right back.
You are listening to Healthy Homecast.
Gravity connects me to the earth, which connects me to people who connect me to myself more honestly. And gravity connects me to the crust, which connects to the leaves on the trees that make it possible to breathe. With naive mind shield like a helmet, they would tell us that we don't know how we feel or how to connect with other people on the planet. Oh, if we only knew the power in each blue disillusioned little.
Okay, and we're back. Welcome once again to Healthy Homecast, and we got with us Doug Kennedy from Pathway Construction. Let's see, so where did we leave off? We were talking about lead paint certification. And I know that, excuse me, just had some seltzer water there. I know that Doug is involved with a group of people that do lead paint trainings. And I, myself, that's where I got my official lead paint training. And why don't you tell us a little bit about what is TM4 and tell us what they do.
Well, actually, TM4 is an outgrowth of a group of individuals that really kind of believe in making change. And all of them are involved either in the construction industry or education around the construction industry. And we all just kind of found each other. And TM4 actually was speaking with John Alexander of Sunshine Construction, and we do an awful lot together, a lot of educational events, and actually it's called co-opetition, where we can work together with other people in the field who are our direct competitors and encourage growth, and by educating other contractors in that, kind of raise the bar and perhaps help the homeowners out there. But anyhow, TM4, John and I were talking, and we decided that maybe we ought to form a group. And since we've been troublemakers since about the 60s, we thought, well, we'll call it TM4, Troublemakers for Change. Mm. And the idea behind the group is we go out into the building community and help bring classes and make classes available, like the lead paint class, the Healthy Home for Building Professional course, Business of Business for contractors that are working in the green field, and numerous other courses. We're going to be bringing David Johnson up again this fall, and Green for the Ground Up, that'll be one of the courses that'll be given again this fall. And we work quite a bit with our Northwest Echo Building Guild, our Master Builders Built Green Program, and the American Lung Association's MHE program, in trying to just get the word out there and make change.
Great. Yeah, actually, I'm going to forget her name from the Eco Cribs. Oh, Patty.
Yeah.
Patty said that she's going to try to get David over here on our podcast.
Oh, that'd be excellent.
Really, really cool. So what are some of the – so we talk about TM4. We know that's one way for – that's generally for a lot of the people that are in the industry and stuff to become educated, but that's not – it's certainly not – the trainings and stuff that you do aren't exclusive just to the business people. Why don't you give us a little bit of an overview on the different educational opportunities and avenues for contractors, but also for just your average homeowner to get involved with?
One of the workshops that we put on is actually through Second Use, and it's an IAQ operation and maintenance workshop where we go in and literally dissect homes, take a look at what causes problems, and equally, if not more importantly, how to find solutions for those problems. And that's a fun workshop to do. We've got a workshop coming up on the Green Homes Tour. The Northwest Eco Building Guild has Green Homes Tour coming up this weekend. And on one of the sites, we actually have a home on the tour this time. And we'll have a workshop on operation and maintenance, to where it's actually going to be hands-on, and we'll take a look at various parts of the houses in the neighborhood and some of the failures that are occurring and what people can do to prevent that from happening.
Okay, great. Yeah, I heard about that on the radio, actually, an ad for the Green Tour. And we've announced that on our podcast a couple of times for the Green Tour. So Tony's great newscasting, event casting.
Great. It's a great opportunity for all of us to just see what is happening in the field of sustainability and healthy home, and that it doesn't have to be daunting and unapproachable. There's a lot of things that all of us can do that are very inexpensive and very healthy.
Great. So, yeah, getting into the part of the interview where these are the types of questions that we generally ask people that are in the building field and everything. So we talk about the green thing, which is like really, really something very repetitive, and it's very powerful. It's a beautiful thing, but it's often misunderstood and over prescribed, I would say. What are some of the descriptive words that you feel that work best when you're having conversations with people and just in general or your clientele?
I think it depends on if we're talking about the system as a whole and its impact on environment, if we're talking about specific systems and their impact on the individual. We're seeing more people that are aware when we talk about cradle to cradle, cradle to grave. We talk about footprint a lot. We talk in terms of health a lot. And we don't hear people necessarily talking in terms of just green, using the term green. And I'm not quite sure why. I think it's because many people started jumping on the green bandwagon, and a lot of greenwashing started occurring. So I don't know if people are becoming gun-shy or just recognizing that it's more than just a term.
Yeah, I remember when I was younger when they started using the word natural and everything.
Yeah.
Natural. So what does a healthy home mean to you?
A future for our children, I think, is the best way I can describe it. All of us are impacted by our environment. As you heard on your last podcast with Nicole, we spend approximately 90% of our time indoors, and much of that is spent in our homes. We as a builder, or myself as a builder and just a human, I would hate to think that what I did inadvertently or consciously literally impacted the health of a child or the individuals living in that home in a negative manner. And so it's a huge responsibility. Dan Morris is going to speak to, he believes all builders should take an oath not to create a home that's going to do anything unhealthy.
Mm. That would be revolutionary in the building field, eh?
Well, it's just a matter of thinking about the impact that we have on others.
So this is an area that you and I, is that proper? I'm not sure about the proper English. You and I have some knowledge about, and keeping in mind that one of our missions is to not finger point too much or mm-hmm. Try to make too much judgment about right and wrong or good and bad, but it is a reality of life. And can you talk on a little bit or point out some areas where greenwashing appears in your field?
I think if you break the field down, you can talk about materials, you can talk about ventilation, you can talk about operation and maintenance. And I think there's responsibility that can be placed in every one of the individual areas. The thing that I think we can all do is demand accountability. And we do that by doing research ahead of when we want a project done. So we as homeowners, we as designers, architects, and builders, we can go out and we can say, tell me why and show me the history and the research behind this product, behind this technique, and why it's going to improve the overall health of the home. A good example is in the lead paint that we talked about earlier. If a homeowner holds the builder or whoever's going to do the job accountable and says, tell me why or why I should not be aware of this rule. And if that builder can't do that, then the homeowner has a good indication, an idea that maybe either that person hasn't done their homework or they don't have the best interest of the client in mind. The homeowner can also, by doing really good research, and the research is easy to do now, find individuals that, because of the knowledge they have, will make an immediate difference in those people's lives.
So be it here in Seattle or anywhere that our podcast is going to be reaching out to, what advice do you have for someone that is seeking the type of services that your company provides?
Go online and check some of your major institutions, groups such as National Center for Healthy Housing. EPA has a couple of really good educational websites related to health. Contact your local groups such as your Eco Builder groups. Out here we have the Northwest Eco Builder groups. Get hold of your Master Builder groups. Look into their Green Build programs. Get hold of the LEEDS programs in your areas. Research the Pharos Project. It's been a collaboration between a number of your major groups, and they're really doing some good things educationally. In our Puget Sound area, check into King County Green Tools. It's a great use of our public's dollars, and they have some very good educational programs. You can go on that and check out EcoCribs. It's a video attempt at educating the public as to what to look for in construction. Check out, and this is really a fun one, it's called The House That Saved the World. You can go to thehousethatsavedtheworld.com, and they're putting together a program that hopefully will be picked up by PBS, and they're going to feature innovative construction projects that are oriented in sustainable, healthy home practices. And they've got some great things on there.
And, of course, you can always check the archives of Healthy Homecast.
Correct. what you and Tony are doing, Daryl, is really great. And you're providing a lot of opportunities for our listeners and a lot of avenues for them to do future research.
Yeah, no, it's a real honor to be able to be involved in something like this and to have such great response from the community and a lot of bright, educated folks like yourself. So whether it be building or construction or homes or something else altogether, what helpful hints or wise advice do you have to share with people that has significant meaning to you?
I don't know if it'd be advice. I think if each one of us has something we're interested in that deals with nature and the environment, and we take that passion and explore it and just give a little time out of our day, our week, our month, our year, and build it into our everyday life, we'll come away a richer person for it. Our children will, because of the modeling we'll do, will gain from it, and society and the environment will profit on the whole.
Mm. Thank you for that. It's beautiful. So what groups or organizations do you support or are you affiliated with?
Well, just actually,
keep them down to a few and then we'll put the rest of them on the site.
We're really fortunate in the Puget Sound region. We've got a tremendous number of groups that are actively involved, growing every day, and really committed. One of the springboards to all of them is the Northwest Echo Building Guild. Mm. And I believe in your last podcast, Nicole spoke to this group. And exceptional group. If people are in the area and want to get involved, it's a great springboard. The people that belong to that organization belong in sharing, believe in sharing. And new people that come and just want information, they're happy to network them. They network quite closely with our Built Green organization through Master Builders, another great group for educational opportunities and guidance. Naturally, our LEEDS program out here, very good program, well-structured, and a great one to be involved in. Or getting involved in the community groups, green drinks throughout the community. Ballard, Sustainable Ballard, Sustainable West Seattle, Sustainable
Burien,
any and all of those groups are bringing together a tremendous amount of people that have passion involved in all different arenas of sustainability, and it's a great way to grow your network.
Mm. Yeah, we've got to talk about some of these people because I've been trying to get a hold of a few. I think you probably got some numbers. So what website, or did you have something you wanted to say?
One other group, and I think it's been instrumental in creating change and growing most of the other programs, and that's the American Lung Association. Mm. There's a fun event coming up November 1st, and would really like to encourage everybody to take part, and it's the Walk for Health and Pathway. And if anybody would like to join the Pathway team, you can contact me at Doug at Pathway, D as in dog, C as in cat, .com. So pathwaydc.com, and we'll add you to the Pathway team. We're hoping to get 50 to 75 volunteers to take a walk for asthma.
Yeah, and we'll put that site on our, that address on our site. Yeah, so aside from that, what website or phone number or Facebook or Twitter or blog or what have you do you want people to check out and contact you by?
Our pathwaydc.com, and that'll take you to our webpage, and that's a basically a directive or a resource to other groups in the area that share a like vision that we share, and we'd invite you to come and explore that.
Okay, yeah, we'll have all that information. And so do you have any specials or upcoming events or info to offer our listeners that we can post on our site?
Naturally, our operation and maintenance, we have a operation and maintenance manual that we make available to the public. And with that, an hour and a half of home consulting where we actually go in and help analyze problems, potential problems, and solutions for homeowners. And we have a reduced price on that if they hear it on your podcast.
Great. Well, that just about wraps it up. We have one last thing to ask you. Is there any last words or anything you feel is left out?
Just want to say thanks for the energy and efforts that you guys have been putting into this. You're going to reach a lot of people. And if each one of those individuals reaches out and just tweaks another, ultimately in a very short time, we're going to accomplish an awful lot. So if all our listeners out there follow their passion and get involved, we can make change.
Sweet. Don't be afraid to do a little tweaking out there.
Oh, sure.
That's the good kind of tweaking. All right. Well, listen, that's been Doug Kennedy. And on behalf of Tony Freiss, Daryl Whalen, and Doug Kennedy and Pathway Construction, we say thank you and goodbye.
Thank you for listening to Healthy Homecast, brought to you by HealthyPainting.com. Please feel free to contact us with any comments, questions, or suggestions for upcoming show topics or guests. Call us at 206-650-4587 or send a direct email to info@healthyhomecast.com. Be sure to check back. New episodes coming soon.
Desert love.